The Pendant Shakespeare presents Chapter 1 of William Shakespeare's Henry VI, Part 2.
As by your high imperial majesty I had in charge at my depart for France, as procurator to your excellence, to marry Princess Margaret for your grace. So, in the famous ancient city Tours, in the presence of the kings of France and Sicily, the dukes of Orléans, Calabre, Bretagne, and Alençon, 7 earls, 12 barons, and 20 reverend bishops, I have performed my task and was espoused. And humbly now upon my bended knee, in sight of England and her lordly peers, deliver up my title in the Queen to your most gracious hands, that are the substance of that great shadow I did represent. The happiest gift that ever Marquess gave, the fairest queen that ever king received.
Suffolk, arise. Welcome, Queen Margaret. I can express no kinder sign of love than this kind kiss. O Lord, that lends me life, lend me a heart replete with thankfulness, for thou hast given me in this beauteous face a world of earthly blessings to my soul, if sympathy of love unite our thoughts.
Great King of England, and my gracious Lord, the mutual conference that my mind hath had, by day, by night, waking and in my dreams, in courtly company or at my beads, with you, mine elder lifest sovereign, makes me the bolder to salute my king with ruder terms, such as my wit affords, and overjoy of heart doth minister.
Her sight did ravish, but her grace in speech, her words yclad with wisdom's majesty, makes me from wondering fall to weeping joys. Such is the fullness of my heart's content. Lords, with one cheerful voice, welcome my love.
Long live Queen Margaret, England's happiness!
We thank you all.
My Lord Protector, so it please your grace, here are the articles of contracted peace between our sovereign and the French King Charles, for 18 months, concluded by consent.
Imprimis, it is agreed between the French King Charles and William de la Pole, Marquess of Suffolk, ambassador for Henry, King of England, that the said Henry shall espouse the Lady Margaret, daughter unto Rainier, King of Naples, Sicilia, and Jerusalem, and crown her Queen of England, ere the 30th of May next ensuing. Item, that the Duchy of Anjou and the County of Maine shall be released and delivered to the king, her father.
Uncle, how now?
Pardon me, gracious lord. Some sudden qualm hath struck me at the heart and dimmed mine eyes, that I can read no further.
Uncle of Winchester, I pray, read on.
Item, it is further agreed between them that the duchies of Anjou and Maine shall be released and delivered over to the king her father, and she sent over of the king of England's own proper cost and charges, without having any dowry.
May please us well. Lord Marquis, kneel down. We here create thee the first Duke of Suffolk, and gird thee with a sword. Cousin of York, we here discharge your grace from being regent ere the parts of France, till term of 18 months be full expired. Thanks, Uncle Winchester, Gloucester, York, Buckingham, Somerset, Salisbury, and Warwick. We thank you all for this great favour done. In entertainment to my princely queen, come, let us in, and with all speed provide to see her coronation be performed.
Brave peers of England, pillars of the state, to you Duke Humphrey must unload his grief, your grief, the common grief of all the land. What, did my brother Henry spend his youth, his valor, coin, and people in the wars, Did he so often lodge in open field, in winter's cold and summer's parching heat, to conquer France, his true inheritance? And did my brother Bedford toil his wits to keep by policy what Henry got? Have you yourselves, Somerset, Buckingham, brave York, Salisbury, and victorious Warwick, received deep scars in France and Normandy? Or hath mine uncle Beaufort and myself, with all the learned council of the realm, studied so long, sat in the council house early and late, debating to and fro how France and Frenchmen might be kept in awe, and had his highness in his infancy crowned in Paris in despite of foes? And shall these labors and honors die? Shall Henry's conquest, Bedford's vigilance, your deeds of war, and all our council die? O peers of England, shameful is this league. Fatal this marriage, cancelling your fame, blotting your names from books of memory, raising the characters of your renown, defacing monuments of conquered France, undoing all, as all had never been.
Nephew, what means this passionate discourse, this peroration with such circumstance? For France, 'tis ours, and we will keep it still.
Aye, uncle, we will keep it if we can. But now it is impossible we should. Suffolk, the new-made duke that rules the roast, hath given the duchy of Anjou and Maine unto the poor King Rainier, whose large style agrees not with the leanness of his purse.
Now, by the death of him that died for all, these counties were the keys of Normandy. But wherefore weeps Warwick, my valiant son?
For grief that they are past recovery. For were there hope to conquer them again, my sword should shed hot blood, mine eyes no tears. Anjou and Maine, myself did win them both. Those provinces these arms of mine did conquer. And are the cities that I got with wounds delivered up again with peaceful words? Dear.
For Suffolk's Duke, may he be suffocate, that dims the honour of this warlike isle. France should have torn and rent my very heart before I would have yielded to this league. I never read but England's kings have had large sums of gold and dowries with their wives, and our King Henry gives away his own to match with her that brings no vantages.
A proper jest, never heard before, that Suffolk should demand a whole 15th. For cost and charges and transporting her. She should have stayed in France and starved in France before...
My Lord of Gloucester, now ye grow too hot. It was the pleasure of my Lord the King.
My Lord of Winchester, I know your mind. 'Tis not my speeches that you do mislike, but 'tis my presence that doth trouble ye. Rancor will out. Proud prelate, in thy face I see thy fury. If I longer stay, we shall begin our ancient bickerings. Lordings, farewell, and say when I am gone, I prophesied France will be lost ere long.
So there goes our protector in a rage. 'Tis known to you he is mine enemy, nay, more, an enemy unto you all, and no great friend, I fear me, to the king. Consider, lords, he is the next of blood, and heir apparent to the English crown. Had Henry got an empire by his marriage, and all the wealthy kingdoms of the West, there's reasons he should be displeased at it. Look to it, lords. Let not his smoothing words bewitch your hearts. Be wise and circumspect. What though the common people favor him, calling him Humphrey, the good Duke of Gloucester, clapping their hands and crying with loud voice, Jesu maintain your royal excellence, with God preserve the good Duke Humphrey. I fear me, lords, for all this flattering gloss, he will be found a dangerous protector.
Why should he, then, protect our sovereign, he being of age to govern of himself? Cousin of Somerset, join you with me, and all together with the Duke of Suffolk, we'll quickly hoist Duke Humphrey from his seat.
This weighty business will not brook delay. I'll to the Duke of Suffolk presently.
Cousin of Buckingham, though Humphrey's pride and greatness of his place be grief to us, yet let us watch the haughty cardinal. His insolence is more intolerable than all the princes in the land beside. If Gloucester be displaced, he'll be protector.
Or thou, or I, Somerset, will be protector, despite Duke Humphrey or the cardinal.
Pride went before, ambition follows him. While these do labor for their own preferment, behoves it us to labor for the realm. I never saw but Humphrey, Duke of Gloucester, did bear him like a noble gentleman. But oft have I seen the haughty cardinal, more like a soldier than a man of the church, as stout and proud as he were lord of all, swear like a ruffian, and demean himself unlike the ruler of a commonweal. Warwick, my son, the comfort of my age, thy deeds, thy plainness, and thy housekeeping hath won the greatest favour of the commons, excepting none but good Duke Humphrey. And Brother York, thy acts in Ireland, in bringing them to civil discipline, thy late exploits done in the heart of France when thou wert regent for our sovereign, have made thee feared and honoured of the people. Join we together for the public good, in what we can, to bridle and suppress the pride of Suffolk and the cardinal, with Somerset's and Buckingham's ambition. And as we may, cherish Duke Humphrey's deeds, while they do tend the profit of the land.
So God help Warwick, as he loves the land and common profit of his country.
And so says York, for he hath greatest cause.
Then let's make haste away, and look unto the main.
Unto the main? Oh, father, main is lost. That main which by main force Warwick did win, and would have kept so long as breath did last. Main chance, father, you meant, but I meant main, which I will win from France, or else be slain.
Anjou and Maine are given unto the French. Paris is lost. The state of Normandy stands on a tickle point. Now they are gone. Suffolk concluded on the articles. The peers agreed, and Henry was well pleased to change two dukedoms for a duke's fair daughter. I cannot blame them all. What is to them? 'Tis thine they give away, and not their own. Pirates may make cheap pennyworths of their pillage and purchase friends and give to courtesans, still reveling like lords till all be gone. While as the silly owner of the goods weeps over them and wrings his hapless hands and shakes his head and trembling stands aloof, while all is shared and all is borne away, ready to starve and dare not touch his own. So York must sit and fret and bite his tongue while his own lands are bargained for and sold. Methinks the realms of England, France, and Ireland bear that proportion to my flesh and blood, as did the fatal brand Althea burned unto the prince's heart of Caledon. Anjou and Maine, both given unto the French. Cold news for me, for I had hope of France, even as I have of fertile England's soil. A day will come when York shall claim his own, and therefore I will take the Neville's part and make a show of love to proud Duke Humphrey. And when I spy advantage, claim the crown. For that's the golden mark I seek to hit. Nor shall proud Lancaster usurp my right, nor hold the scepter in his childish fist, nor wear the diadem upon his head, whose church-like humours fits not for a crown. Then, York, be still a while, till time do serve. Watch thou and wake when others be asleep, to pry into the secrets of the state. Till Henry, so fitting in joys of love, with his new bride and England's dear-bought queen, and Humphrey with the peers be fallen at Jars. Then will I raise aloft the milk-white rose, with whose sweet smell the air shall be perfumed, and in my standard bear the arms of York to grapple with the House of Lancaster. And, force perforce, I'll make him yield the crown, whose bookish rule hath pulled fair England down.
Why droops my lord, like o'er-ripened corn, hanging the head its serious plenteous load? Why doth the great Duke Humphrey knit his brows, as frowning at the favours of the world? Why are thine eyes fixed to the sullen earth, gazing on that which seems to dim thy sight? What seest thou there, King Henry's diadem, enchased with all the honours of the world? If so, gaze on, and grovel on thy face, until thy head be circled with the same. Put forth thy hand, reach at the glorious gold. What, is it too short? I'll lengthen it with mine, and having both together heaved it up, we'll both together lift our heads to heaven, and never more abase our sight so low as to vouchsafe one glance unto the ground.
Oh, Nell, sweet Nell, if thou dost love thy lord, banish the canker of ambitious thoughts. And may that thought, when I imagine ill against my king and nephew, virtuous Henry, be my last breathing in this mortal world. My troublous dream this night doth make me sad.
What dreamed, my lord? Tell me, and I'll requite it with sweet rehearsal of my morning's dream.
Methought the staff, mine office badge in court, was broken twain, by whom I have forgot, but as I think it was by the cardinal. And on the pieces of the broken wand were placed the heads of Edmund, Duke of Somerset, and William de la Pole, first Duke of Suffolk. This was my dream. What it doth bode, God knows.
Tut, this was nothing but an argument. That he breaks a stick of Gloucester's Grove shall lose his head for his presumption. But, least to me, my Humphrey, my sweet Duke. Methought I sat in a seat of majesty in the Cathedral Church of Westminster, and in that chair where kings and queens are crowned, where Henry and Dame Margaret kneeled to me, and on my head did set the diadem.
Nay, Eleanor, then, must I chide outright, presumptuous dame, ill-nurtured Eleanor, art thou not second woman in the realm, and the protector's wife beloved of him? Hast thou not worldly pleasure at command, above the reach or compass of thy thought? And wilt thou still be hammering treachery to tumble down thy husband and thyself from top of honor to disgrace's feet? Away from me, and let me hear no more.
What? What, my lord? Are you so choleric with Eleanor for telling but her dream? Next time, I'll keep my dreams unto myself and not be checked.
Nay, be not angry. I am pleased again.
My lord protector, tis his highness' pleasure you do prepare to ride into St. Albans, whereas the king and queen do mean to hawk.
I go. Come, Nell, thou wilt ride with us?
Yes, my good lord. I'll follow presently. Follow I must. I cannot go before. Well, Gloucester bears this base and humble mind. Were I a man, a duke, and the next of blood, I would remove these tedious stumbling blocks and smooth my way upon their headless necks. And, being a woman, I will not be slack to play my part in fortune's pageant. Where are you there, Sir John? Nay, fear not, man. We are alone. Here's none but thee and I.
Jesus preserve your royal majesty.
Ha! What sayest thou? Majesty? I am but grace.
But by the grace of God and whom's advice, your grace's title shall be multiplied.
What sayest thou, man? Hast thou as yet conferred with Marjorie Jourdain, the cunning witch, with Roger Bolingbroke, the conjurer? And will they undertake to do me good?
This they have promised, to show your highness a spirit raised from depth of underground that shall make answer to such questions as by your grace shall be propounded him.
It is enough. I'll think upon the questions. When from St. Albans we do make return, we'll see these things effected to the full. Here, Hume, take this reward. Make merry, man, with thy confederates in this weighty cause.
You must make merry with the Duchess's gold. Marry and shall. Oh, but now, Sir John Hume, seal up your lips and give no words but mum. The business asketh silent secrecy. Dame Eleanor gives gold to bring the witch. Gold cannot come amiss, were she a devil. Yet I have gold flies from another coast. Oh, I dare not say from the rich cardinal and from great and new-made Duke of Suffolk. Oh, yet I do find it so. For to be plain, they, knowing Dame Eleanor's aspiring humour, have hired me to undermine the Duchess and buzz these conjurations in her brain. Oh, they say a crafty knave needs no broker. Yet I am Suffolk and the Cardinal's broker. Hume, if you take not heed, you shall go near to call them both a pair of crafty knaves. Well, so it stands, and thus I fear at last Hume's knavery will be the Duchess's wreck, and her attainture will be Humphrey's fall. Sort how it will, I shall have gold. For all.
The Pendant Shakespeare, also known as the Wild Bill Variety Show, presents Chapter 1 of Henry VI, Part 2. Featuring the voice talents of W. Keith Timms as Suffolk, Justine Leah Hintz as Queen Margaret, Emmeline Tuck as King Henry VI, Sarah Palmero as Cardinal Winchester, Pete Lutz as Duke Gloucester, Julia Eve as Warwick, Edward Herman as Salisbury, E. Rachel Ward as Buckingham, Adam Blandford as York, Kat Peterson as Eleanor, Duchess of Gloucester, Russell Gold as Somerset, Josh Kibbe as The Messenger, and Gareth Bowley as John Hume. Audio adaptation by Morgan Z. Soule. Directed by Jeff Robinson. Produced by Pendant Productions. This production is copyright 2024, Pendant Productions.
For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.